sign of what was to come. The lake is vast and dangerous. We were heading for miles of open water. Was the lake out to get me? Sometime later, as we took a break in a cove, I got a grip. The lake is vast. The lake is powerful. My existence may ultimately be of consequence to the lake inasmuch as humans and the world interact. But in terms of intentionality, the lake has no plans for me. The lake has no motives. The lake isn't punishing. It isn't forgiving. The lake just is. I wrote this, or something similar to it, in 2006 in a column for the Ames Tribune when I worked as editor there. It was part of an account of a kayak trip to Lake Superior in the summer of that year. I have recycled it many times now. I have used this story in one of the first sermons I ever wrote for seminary, and I've used it in other UU churches since. It has come to be a touchstone for me, a way of keying into my theology of the moment each time the sermon has changed, each time the story takes a different character. I want to use it now again as I get to know you, as you get to know me. I want to tell you a little bit about what brought me here, a little bit about what we might talk about over the next 9 months as I learn from Matthew and Kimberly and Jamie and Tim and from all of you what it means to be a minister. I worked as a journalist for more than 20 years as a reporter and editor for newspapers around the Midwest. A job change for my spouse about 5 years ago made it possible for me to think about doing something new and different. And so, after completing a Master's of Divinity in May, here I am. Theologically, I count myself as a humanist. I grew up in a Methodist church. I belonged to a United Church of Christ church for a decade as a young adult, and I came to Unitarian Universalism in the early 1990s. This tradition feels right to me. It feels like home. I am, in that sense, a come-outer, but I did not come, as I know some others do, hurt by the church that I had been a part of, at least not hurt by its theology. I said when I began seminary that while I am skeptical about the supernatural and about the language of kings and fathers, I can hear poetry in the Bible. I can find in it meaning. And I am not uncomfortable with God language. This turned out to be a good thing because, in fact, we talk about God a whole lot more in seminary than we do in the UU churches that I have been a part of. Turns out God's part of the deal. Who knew? And so when people talk about God, I think about what that really means for them and what true thing they are saying that I can apprehend, how it is that we can communicate. The lake story gives me one way of digging into that. If we think about the lake as a metaphor for God, right off, the image pushes us into some new corners. God is vast. God is powerful. My existence may be ultimately of consequence to God in as much as humans seek ultimate meaning. But in terms of intentionality, the lake, the God of the lake, has no plans for me, no motives. God isn't punishing. God isn't forgiving. God just is. We can have all kinds of fun with this. Who are we? We are the flotsam of the universe, blowing about on a lake of mystery. Surface tension keeps us from sinking. We are tiny paddlers making imperceptible headway in our journey toward the horizon. We are land creatures seeking solid footing, but displaced and swimming in a fluid environment. If I can mix the metaphor, we are like Mickey, fallen out of our slumbers, out of our clothes, naked and immersed in the rich, life-giving liquid. I am in the milk, and the milk's in me. How big is God? Think of the horizon line For me, in the boat, it looks like a goal. So we are always thinking in terms of arriving or achieving. But the horizon is constantly receding. We will never arrive. Even if we reach the opposite shore, we look back and there's that horizon again behind and now before us. What is sin in this model? Sin is a break in the bond between paddler or the bond between paddler in the lake. The sin of environmental destruction, for example, a violation of right relationship. What is salvation? When I fall out of my boat, who rescues me? Well, my fellow paddlers do. They pull me out. And whence comes grace? Grace comes from you and you and you. Science writer Chet Ramo describes knowledge as an island in an infinite sea of mystery. Two things follow from this. He says, increasing the size of the island, increasing knowledge, does nothing to reduce the size of the mystery. And increasing the size of the island increases the shoreline, the interface along which we encounter that ocean of mystery. We are at our human best as creatures of the shore, Ramo writes, with one foot on the hard ground of fact and one foot in the sea of mystery. If the lake is God, God is underneath us, not above us. The lake supports us. The lake also threatens us. This is a challenge to a more appealing notion of God as good or God as pure love. The power of creation, which we too exhibit, is the same as the power of destruction. We think in terms of instant karma, that things should make sense. This tells us, to me, more about us than it tells us about the lake. It tells us justice is a human trait. We exist in community. We survive in pods, riding out storms with the mutual aid we provide one another and with the understanding that we build it together, knowledge of the currents and the tides, of how to lash together a boat that will sustain us. As we float here, we tell stories to each other, stories that help us understand the mystery, stories that bring us comfort, stories that help us build better boats, stories that help us provide food and clothing and comfort, and also stories that define roles, that set limits. We create meaning. From a bird's eye view, we are all paddling toward the horizon line, no matter where we are on the lake or in which direction we are traveling. This must look like a mess to a seagull. Down here on the lake, it's not a lot better. The horizon is often obscured, the line between water and sky confused by evaporation and the refraction of light, or by a heavy fog. So we sometimes lose sight of the horizon, of right relationship. We are lost in the immediacy of our own situation or confused by the shimmering elusiveness of the goal. Now, I like the lake metaphor. It opens up a lot of possibilities for me. But it has a big problem. The lake is vast. It is also really, really cold. We UUs sometimes resemble this, don't we? We are sometimes overly intellectualized, overly educated, overprivileged. We work hard for justice. Sometimes we forget to just be. I know I am too guilty of often speaking from my head and not my heart. This is, in fact, one of the things that I will be working on here with you this year, reaching deeper. In previous versions of this sermon, I have used this part to talk about the story of Job, for example, of how Job makes it okay to be angry with God. Last week, I read a passage from Jeremiah. I have come to see that in the stories of the prophets are turning points in understanding, not so much a solid rock as it is sometimes said to be. I think the Bible is a chronicle of how things change. The stories map how people have come to new understandings of God or the divine or ultimacy or whatever you want to call it. I look for those changes. They help me understand my own journey. The currents of the lake shift and turn and sometimes double back on themselves. I ask, how did I get here? I have told this story too, with a tale of a trip to Guatemala, where I encountered Maya peoples worshiping in a Catholic church, a church built on purpose on top of the ruins of an even more ancient Maya temple, a church where contrition poured out of these worshipers like blood from the wounds they suffered at the hands of their own government. These are people for whom each day was another example of how God feeds the birds of the air or clothes them or not. People who have been brutalized unspeakably. These are people for whom the cross is no ancient symbol. These people know Jesus. He lives with them. Now, for me, my humanistic faith at this point in my life is going to stay. But I do admit, I do not often experience the depth of feeling evident in these worshipers, and something in me cries for this. And I wonder, too, what in the lake metaphor is it that compels action? What calls us? This is why we come here on a Sunday, right? To become something other than we are now. To find new understanding, to be moved to action, to seek justice, to be changed. Church is a place to find comfort, of course, but it is more than that. It is a place to be challenged. It is a place to grow. I think about my own calling here, what brings me to you, what I'm about. Some of you know that I have found an apartment above Just Goods down on 7th Street, which is a neighborhood in some transition. I climb a substantial flight of stairs each day to get to my room, open the door with a single key to the knob. The locks are not all that secure. In truth, you could rattle your way into my apartment. Still, I feel a certain safety, a separation perched up on the second floor. Sometimes I need to go back down those stairs to the street, to where life is real, to the guy singing his guts out at 3 a.m., or the guy with the shuffle, or the woman arguing with the attendant at the check cashing place, or the residents of the building across my parking lot who escape the heat outside every day at 4 to talk and to smoke cigarettes, to find their own sense of community. And two, I think about the world we live in, about how a century ago, I read this week in the aftermath of the First World War, William Butler Yeats wrote, "Things fall apart, the center cannot hold." And I read now how the world stage again seems to be poised for such chaos. It was supposed to be calm, but storm clouds gather. Once again, we are on a brink. And so we, who are so often on the thought margins of society, we who clamor for change, who push the envelope, who are the gadflies, who are the conscience of pop culture, who call for justice and truth, who never stop believing in the power of reason, we are in this moment called to be that strong center. We are called to hold. This is the dream, that we transform ourselves and thus the world. Most of the time, God for me is no more than an idea, and I'm fine with that. I haven't ever known the God that people say comes and sits down next to them. And now I think after all these years, I would have more than a few questions if she did. I find great strength and purpose in my humanist religion. It speaks to me in words that I can hear. I believe religion creates meaning in all of us, regardless of the languages that we use. The trick is to learn more than one language. That's what I hope to do this year, what my dream is, to learn your language. I hope we find some meaning together, for you, for me. I hope we can find stories that bind us, that move us to new lives, new understanding. Now, it's not perfect, but as a metaphor for God, I think we could do worse than Lake Superior. God is vast. God is powerful. You can die at the hands of God, or you can live. My existence may ultimately be of consequence to God in as much as humans seek to make sense of the world. But God isn't punishing. God isn't forgiving. God just is. I think if our idea of God was more like Lake Superior, we might better appreciate our dependence on each other and better appreciate the world in which we live. We might know that the stones we drop in the water carry ripples to the opposite shore. You can die on the lake, or you can live. You might luck out and get a calm day, in which case you won't have to rely on much. On another day, it will take all of your intelligence and all of your skill just to stay afloat, not to mention a little help from your friends. The lake is vast and dark and also really cold. The lake will lash you with Old Testament wrath, and it will carry you off to distant shores on the gospel truth of its power. The lake is deep and beautiful. It teems with life beneath its waves, and it nourishes life along its shores. From it, we draw our own life, our livelihood, and maybe even a sense of the divine. The lake will bear you up, and sooner or later, it will swallow you down. The lake just is. Let's sing together again. Thank you. Number 1064 in your teal hymnal, Blue Boat Home. Thank you. join hands with those around you as we bring this service to a close. For all who see God, may God go with you. For all who embrace life, may life return your affection. For all who seek a right path, may a way be found and the courage to take it step by step. Let's sing together once again.